This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
And Mark joins us now. Mark, how's life? How you doing?
I'm great, guys. You?
Everything's good on this end. Now, I'm going to start you with a hard question. If you are Aaron Boone and you've got a catcher who's the quote-unquote future catcher of the organization, and he's hitting 137, and you have a guy that pitchers like to pitch to and also can hit a home run every now and then, what do they do with Gary Sanchez in the playoffs?
He's not playing right now, Michael. It's hard for me to say that because, as you guys know, I've been a Gary fan. I've been trying to pump up Gary all year, but the facts are the facts. He just doesn't look good right now. And so what I would say is if the Yankees get in a position where they're in a better playoff spot, if they can get in that top four, because anything can happen these last 2 weeks of the season, maybe you can get him some more at-bats and get him hot, but right now, they need every win they can get, and it just seems that Higgy's the guy. I mean, you saw 3 home runs last night. That's not going to be expected every night. But if the pitchers are saying, whether publicly or privately, that they'd rather throw to him, you got to listen to your pitching staff.
Do you believe that, I mean, you don't forget how to hit unless you're injured. It doesn't seem like he's injured. Do you believe that the organization's, I mean, obsession, emphasis with framing and making him get down on one knee, that he's taking it to the offensive side?
It's probably not helping, Michael. I'll say this. When I started playing first base my first 2 years in the big league, because I was a third baseman in high school and college and my 1 year in the minors, I got moved to first base kind of at a crash course in the middle of my rookie
year. Is that because of Hank Blaylock?
Hank Blaylock was a stud third baseman, and Buck Showalter basically came to me and said, "Hey, Tex, I love your bat, but Hank's glove's better at third," which he was. He said, "You're moving to first base." Obviously, it turned out great for everybody, but I knew that when I was grinding defensively, trying to figure out positioning and kind of how to learn how to play first base, it did affect my hitting because you're putting double pressure on yourself, and most guys don't have to grind defensively. Now, they may not be gold glovers, but it doesn't weigh on them mentally because hitting is so hard. You want to save all of your mental energy for the batter's box. Right now, Gary's grinding on both sides, at the dish offensively, at the dish defensively, and that's just not a good place to be.
But it was there. Like, we're not talking about, you remember Kevin Moss, right? It was like a quick couple of months, and then it kind of fell apart for him. Anybody can kind of have a great few months. If this was just based off that 2016 season, then maybe you could say it's kind of a fluke, but we've seen enough to believe that this wasn't a fluke. So can New York be something, right? You've seen New York gobble people up and spit them out. Is he the catching version of Sonny Gray? Where if he goes someplace else, he'll break out.
I don't know the definitive answer there, Don, but I'll say this. Gary Sanchez might be better off DHing for the Seattle Mariners or the Texas Rangers. A place that's not so in your face, where if you go for 4 with a couple strikeouts and have a pass ball, you don't have 50 reporters around you. I'm not saying that that's what it is, but I think what even more importantly is that when Gary came up in 2015 and 16, and we saw him in spring training, and we saw him, before he took off in 2016, a lot of us veteran hitters were saying, man, there's a lot of moving parts there. There's a lot of movement in his hands. There's a lot of movement in that big leg kick. And we were saying, God bless him if he can make that work. But it's very difficult to have that many moving parts as a hitter and hit the type of stuff that you're going to get day in and day out in the big leagues. And when you're young and you're healthy and you have more bat speed than anybody in the big leagues, you can get away with that stuff. As you get older, as you have a couple little injuries, as the weight of catching or the weight of playing in New York bear down on you a little bit, that complicated swing, I think, hurts Gary a little bit. And it might be an instance where this offseason, he needs to simplify that swing a little bit.
Well, he's in the lineup today. So after hitting 3 home runs, Higashioka is not. But the Yankees have won 7 in a row. And I opened up the show saying this, Mark. I want to get your take. They're now as good as any of the 16 teams that are going in, and their focus again should be, you know what, we have to win the World Series or we didn't have a great season. Because I think now with everybody healthy, the lineup the way it is, and the pitching lined up the way it is, I believe they're as good as anybody. You agree?
I agree, except for the caveat is I think the Dodgers are still a better team. I mean, the Dodgers are, they're so complete, and the fact that you don't have a bunch of off days in the playoffs like you usually do means you're going to need a deep playoff rotation. And if Davey Garcia steps up, then great. If J.A. Happ steps up, great. But right now, if I had to bet on the best pitching staffs in baseball to get through a long October run with that extra round of the playoffs, the Yankees wouldn't be top of my list. That being said, they're better than the Tampa Bay Rays right now. I just think they are. This is the team that we expected. I mean, yeah, you know, Judge just got back, and Stanton just got back. Glaber's not 100%. You know, Gary's obviously having his struggles. But, you know, Paxton's out. We can talk about a lot of the things that haven't gone right for the Yankees so far. But the fact is, they've won 7 in a row. They're 3 back of the Rays, and I think they're a more talented team. So these last couple weeks of the season, they could be a first-place team, get a home series that first round, and get a little bit of momentum going into October.
But here's what's interesting to me, Mark, is that you can't really say that they are struggling because of injury, because, as you just said, the injured players coming back really haven't affected this winning streak. So is it possible that this winning streak is a bit of a byproduct of beating up on Baltimore and Toronto, two teams that maybe at this stage of the season are starting to get exposed?
You're exactly right, Don. I mean, but you can't tell them that. Like, when a young player or a team that's struggling finally gets into a 7-game win streak, they're not going back into the clubhouse after the game and saying, man, that team stinks, and we should have won that game. They're getting that confidence. So mm-hmm. We'll see. We will see, you know, whether they play, you know, a quality team in the first round or whether they get exposed in these last few series. But, you know, they're doing what they're supposed to do, which is score a lot of runs against teams that just aren't as talented as they are.
Tell me how difficult this is going to be, Mark. After tonight's game against the Blue Jays, not one Yankee, including the coaching staff, will sleep in their own bed if they go to the World Series for 6 weeks. How tough is that? Because they have to quarantine in a hotel starting on Monday, so they'll be in Buffalo. And even when they come back next weekend, they can't go home. They have to be in a hotel. How tough is that going to be?
It's extremely difficult, but everybody's in the same boat. And if I'm Aaron Boone, I'm sitting the guys down at some point between now and you know, September 27th when the season ends, and saying, hey, guys, we know what's coming. It's not ideal. Nothing about 2020 has been ideal. And by the way, every team is under the same rules. And so I don't want to hear complaining. We're just going to go out and get it. And to your point, Don, you know, the Yankees have beat up on the Blue Jays and the Orioles. They're not playing great teams down the stretch. They're playing Boston and Toronto and Miami. Like, they're not playing good teams.
Right.
So I think they can continue that momentum. And when you're riding high and someone says, all right, you got a 5-week road trip, all right, boys, let's go on the road. Let's have some fun. Let's win some ball games.
You know, for the last few years, I think the American League has been better than the National League. In a very short sample, when you look at the Dodgers and you look at the Cubs and you look at the Braves, and I think this Padre team's legit. Has the pendulum swung here?
A little bit. You know, it's very hard to really know how good the teams are. Number one, they're only playing their division and then the other division in the opposite league. And it's still such a short season. I mean, most teams have played 50 games. And I used to say when I played, don't judge me or don't judge my team until June. On June 1st, then we can say, all right, we're good, we're bad, we need to make changes, I stink, they stink, you know, whatever it might be. That's after 50 to 60 games. So just right now, we're starting to figure out who teams are, and I'm really interested to see how these last few weeks play out, because can the Padres continue, you know, their stretch? Are the Cubs for real? I don't know if the Cubs are for real. The Braves have slowed down a little bit. The A's have slowed down. The White Sox are hot. But are those teams going to continue that and be able to do it for another 5 weeks in October?
All right, so the Luke Voit has more home runs than the Red Sox have wins. He's an MVP candidate. Did you see this? Could you envision this when you watched him?
Well, when we first traded for him, everyone said this is a nice piece, and he's going to be a Steve Pierce type guy. You know, we're going to get him in against lefties. He's going to give us some quality at bats. I mean, Luke Voit has completely taken off to the point where, I mean, he's the Yankees MVP in my mind. And for a guy that was kind of a throw-in trade, not really heralded, it's just so impressive to watch, because you watch last night's game and just his quality at bat. I mean, he doesn't swing at bad pitches. He fights off good pitches. And it looked like Roark last night didn't even want to throw him a strike, because he just knew that, hey, if I make a little mistake here, this ball's going to be pounded. He just missed some pitches last night. Every single swing feels like he's going to do damage. I don't think anybody saw this coming.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Is it a good sign for the Yankees, or bad, that it seems like almost every year there's a different MVP?
I think it's good, because if you look at every championship team, there it's not one or two guys. This isn't the NBA. It's not the NFL, where maybe a quarterback and a dominant defensive lineman can really catapult a team to a championship. You need 9 or 10 really good players to win a World Series. And whether it's Howie Kendrick stepping up last year for the Nats, or I remember, I think it was 2010 when Edgar Renteria, who was at the end of his career, he might have retired the year after, was the MVP for the San Francisco Giants when they won the World Series. Steve Pierce won an MVP for the Red Sox in 2018. You need those great players all throughout your lineup, all throughout your pitching staff, because a few guys are going to be hot every series. A few guys are going to be cold. You need that depth. And I think it's a good sign. It's a testament to Brian Cashman and making some of these moves and creating a roster full of depth. And everyone was saying, go out and get Machado, or go out and get this guy, go out and get Harper. He said, no, I'd rather have three really good players than sign another superstar for $30 million a year.
Now, Michael was getting on me for not getting giddy over the Mets come from behind victory against Philadelphia last night. They're still mathematically alive, Bark, but I don't believe in this team. Should I?
I don't think you should, but at the same time, weirder things have happened. If the Mets can get to some sort of consistency, I wouldn't want to face them in the first round, just because you got to face DeGrom, and let's assume that the hamstring issue isn't real. You go into a 3-game series and face the best pitcher on the planet, you're probably going to lose game one, right? And now what do you do? So I think the Mets, they know that as long as they're mathematically alive, they have a chance to do some cool things this season. We'll see if they can actually do it. I think the odds are not great right now, but they're playing Washington the last 4 games of the season. They get a shot at the Phillies tonight. You obviously got to win that game, but you never know.
One final thing. I got very upset yesterday when it was intimated by Rob Manfred that they might have 8 teams make the playoffs from here on out in each league. I don't think it's good. This year I was willing to accept everything, Mark, but I think 8 teams is too much, and there's certainly no disincentive to go in as a wild card rather than a division winner. What's the big deal, especially this year? But what do you think going forward with 8 teams making the playoffs each year?
Well, Michael, we usually agree on most things. I'm going to have to disagree with you here. I love the playoffs. I love the expanded playoffs. I really do. I just think that you've seen attendance declining. You've seen ratings decline. And when a team can enter a season with really – listen, if in a normal season, the Miami Marlins wouldn't have had a chance to make the playoffs this year. But yet there's a fan base they're trying to build there. They're just trying to figure something out to get people to go to games and watch their games. They're making the playoffs. And that can be said for a lot of teams all over baseball. And I think you want to give that incentive to teams to invest in their players, to maybe go out and sign that extra free agent. Yes, is a 162-game season too long to have eight playoff teams? Absolutely. That's why I think the regular season should be closer to 140. And I would rather see a shortened regular season and expanded playoffs moving forward.
I'll tell you what, though, the Players Association won't like it because big teams are not going to spend as much money because they know that just by accident they'll get in. So essentially, you're filling the Marlins with steroids and having them make the playoffs when they really shouldn't.
Well, that's one way to look at it. The other way I look at it is the top teams still want to win a World Series.
Mm-hmm.
So the Yankees, the Dodgers, and in a normal year, the Red Sox and Cubs and those type of big spenders, they still want to win a World Series. Just making the playoffs isn't enough. So I do think you'll get the double benefit of those top teams are still going to spend money because a World Championship is their ultimate goal. But you also get the benefit of teams like the White Sox or the Marlins or some of these up-and-coming teams. They're going to invest in their product, invest in their fan base, and knowing that, hey, I don't have to be perfect, but I can still play meaningful games in October and maybe upset somebody. Now, I would like to see the first round be five games. That's the one thing I would do, and that's why I think you shorten the regular season, expand the playoffs, because I do want to see the best team make it to the World Series. And under this year's format, with a three-game series in the first round, there's going to be a lot of upset.
But I'm going to tell you what, Mark. Fans aren't dumb. Look at Don. His team is going to be playing important games next week. He is not invested at all because he knows it's a farce. So I think that fans will feel that way as well, and I want to finish this with you. Are you okay with an under-500 team making the playoffs in baseball? Because it's going to happen in the National League.
Yeah, it is what it is. I mean, I'm okay with pretty much everything this year. If you had asked me, 4 months ago when we were kind of negotiating all this, the COVID protocols and what type of season we'd have, I didn't like any of it. I didn't like the 10-inning doubleheader, or 7-inning doubleheader. I didn't like putting a man on second base in the 10th inning. I didn't like any of this stuff. Now it's like, hey, we got to figure something out for 2020, and then let's see if it works. I'd like to have this same conversation, Michael, on November 1st or whenever the World Series is over, and we can kind of debrief what happened for the entire playoffs, and let's decide if it's something that we should keep doing.
All right, it's a date. We'll talk then. Thank you, Mark.
Sounds great.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.